It's Football Friday on The Fan.
Block somebody!
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Take the fight to them.
The Fan.
Adam with three here on Danny and Dusty on a Friday afternoon, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you, love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful day. It is indeed a Football Friday.
Football
we're going to keep
Friday.
That football going with what could be, potentially be, the best playoff matchup of the postseason, featuring the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, buddy.
In the freezing, oh my God, cold of Buffalo.
You see, it's dumping snow in western New York right now.
Oh, is it doing that thing again?
It's dumping snow.
So it's going to turn into ice?
It? The lake effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. There. It's supposed to like die down. I don't know. I'm not a Buffalo weatherman.
I'll tell you right now.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't warm up, it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
That's true. Facts right there.
It was an interesting phenomenon when I was stationed in North Dakota.
Mm.
Doesn't snow that much. It's just that when it does, it doesn't go anywhere because it's negative for 3 months.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of what's going to be happening in Buffalo. What was it, negative nine?
Negative six.
Negative six.
Negative six with the wind chills.
Yeah, buddy. That snow ain't going anywhere.
Mm. Now,
all those heating coils in the field will clear the field, but ain't nobody getting to that game.
Oh, I think you're underestimating
Usher's
the will
Buffalo.
Of Buffalo.
They made
people.
It in that nasty snowstorm.
They're
going
to go and
ago.
Dig that stadium out if they need to.
So was
They've
it
done
just,
it before.
Was that 2 years ago they did that?
Last year they
was
did.
Last year?
I think it's a rite of passage where they just go and do it no matter what.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah. I'm excited for this game, though. I mean, you remember the game 4 years ago and how that one ended? Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson seemed like he was driving his team down for a game-tying score, and he threw a 101-yard pick six. Whoops. Not going to work in the playoffs. But that game, it lived up to it, and that was at a time where, remember, Lamar Jackson had just kind of bucked that trend of can't win in the playoffs. He was 0-2 before that, but he beat Tennessee, and then they go to Buffalo in the divisional round, and that's the way that it ended. And it was just kind of like that came down with a big kerplunk. Well, you're starting to see Lamar Jackson is bucking a lot of the labels that have gone against him. Whether it was his ability to throw the ball, he's got nothing but more efficient and just being like a one-trick pony that can run the ball first and not be able to push the ball down the field. His own head coach said his biggest criticism of Lamar Jackson was his accuracy downfield. He has fixed these things. But this is a different animal, and you're coming off a win where you steamrolled divisional rival in Pittsburgh in the wild card round. And you were able to do it without Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers is now doubtful for Sunday's game.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be a tough hill to climb.
It is an improvement.
It's an improvement.
But unlikely.
But a doubtful means that you're less than 50%.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it, questionable is 50-50. Mm-hmm.
Questionable is basically 25%.
Games
or doubtful, I mean.
Doubtful is, 25, and then game time decision is 75% to play. That's the way you should look at these things, right? Doubtful's not good, especially with a knee injury. Even if he does play, you're not getting Zay Flowers, which the most useful asset that he has is he's the guy that can keep a defense honest against you.
Doubtful means we're going to give him the Toradol shot and see what happens.
But
even then, he's not going to be...
Not with a knee injury.
Yeah.
Because you could tear that thing up and then you're really screwed.
It's what we saw with Christian Watson with the Packers. They knew what the deal was and non-contact, and the knee went...
Yeah, they knew it was... Yeah, with him, it was like, it's already hurt. I mean, finish it off.
Yeah, it's the same situation kind of a deal. Like
don't do that.
No, and it's like, can you do more damage to it? Yes. Yes, you can. It's interesting, though. You look at all the PFF grades, and then, again, it's objective because it's all individually graded, and it goes through their machine learning and all the other things and scores across it. But this is about as even a game as exists.
Yeah, and this is why we should all be excited for this matchup. I mean, you have two great quarterbacks. You have two teams that are trying to buck narratives of getting over the hump. And really, for Buffalo, I think that it's to a lesser extent than Baltimore, because with Baltimore, it's like you need to get to that AFC championship game. Right? Mm-hmm. You need to get a couple of wins with Lamar Jackson. You've got that running back. You've got the workhorse where you could take this show on the road in cold weather and feel comfortable with having a run game that's going to be more than just Lamar Jackson trying to create or designing runs so Lamar Jackson can get to the edge and beat a team. You have a workhorse bell cow running back, and now your defense has really come around the last handful of weeks of the season. Last month of the season, they went from being a team that you were going, dude, the defense in Baltimore is what's going to hurt them, to, no, they figured it out on that side of the ball.
They were allowing the second worst QBR in the league through the first 10 weeks of the season, 31st.
Moving Kyle Hamilton back to free safety has helped.
They are, since week 11, they are number one.
They've been awesome.
I mean, that's such a staggering change.
Yep. Yep. And look, you have two MVPs. These guys have played outstanding all season long. Mm-hmm. And it's like, something's got to give, right? Is Josh Allen going to be able to, with his cast of, I mean, not great, but really good wide receivers.
It's not the Island of Misfit Toys.
No, but.
It's not.
It's a good, not great.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're not forcing the ball to anybody. You're letting the kind of play dictate it, but you need somebody to break something open.
He is so much better with a receiver room like this, though, than he was with forced to feed a diva receiver. Like, Josh Allen has come into his own. He's been playing really damn well. Lamar Jackson has been playing better all season long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lamar Jackson might not win the MVP because he's won a couple.
Not only that, he's got Derrick Henry, which is a
That helps.
Pretty
sizable, but his season has been just more efficient. Like, mm-hmm. he's grown and shown that he's taken strides and moving forward. I can't wait to see this matchup. I think the Zay Flowers injury is big, though. In this game, it's going to be much more of a factor than it was last week against Pittsburgh, because you need somebody that can keep him honest, even if it's cold and even if you're not going to be pushing the ball down the field. You need him, because it takes a set of eyes off of the run game, the plus one run game, right? The reason why the plus one run game is so effective when you have Zay Flowers on the field is because two have to go with him deep, and then you have to have multiple eyes on Derrick Henry. That opens up a lot for Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. And when you'd have one more set of eyes to be in that backfield and have the ability to kind of condense the field. Look, Isaiah Likely, Mark Andrews had awesome games against Pittsburgh. And they're going to have awesome games again, because that's where you're going to be able to feed them, because eyes will need to be on Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson. Right.
And like,
no doubt.
And the likelihood of the ability to be able to push the ball down the field that far isn't going to be great in that weather.
But when you have eyes committed to your running back and your quarterback to run, the soft spot is in that linebacking core, and it's that underneath and intermediate game. And they had two really good games against Pittsburgh. They're going to have to string it together, because this Buffalo team's really stinking good. I mean, we think of what the regular season came down to. Right, that's a 13-4 team that the final week of the season, they went the same route, and they were like, man, whatever. They lost to the Patriots and kind of mailed it in. They punted from the 35-yard line going in so their punter could get a bonus. Like, that's how they treated the game against the Patriots at the end of the year.
It was not something they cared about.
Not one bit. That is a 14-3 team.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good. Really damn good.
Really good.
I can't wait for it, though, because you have good on good, strong on strong. It's going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome game.
All right, coming up next, we have one last game to preview. The Los Angeles Rams traveling to the Philadelphia Eagles for what I'm sure will be another fantastic weather game. Coming up next here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Last game of the divisional round playoffs features the Los Angeles Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles playing in Philadelphia.
Philly.
And it's a game that it probably is going to get the... Do you think this is the game that gets the least amount of oomph to it, or is it Chiefs-Texans?
Well, I mean, you got the Chiefs being number one overall seed, mm-hmm. going for the three-peat. Is Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense going to fix their ills that have kind of plagued them? And yes, they will, because Travis Kelce will get the ball.
Is this the last hurrah for Kelce? I almost feel like it is.
Boy, you're kind of getting that sense and that feeling of where, like, this after this year, there's nothing else that he would need to prove. And that would be fascinating to see kind of where they go.
Brother, he'll be 36 in October.
And he's wildly productive, man. And he and his brother's podcast does really well. And you know he'll be a star.
Potential wife.
Yeah.
Financially set.
And if he loses, man, T-Swift may dump him. Mm. She doesn't deal with losers.
That's right.
Swifties, I don't mean that. Yeah. That was a joke.
That was Dusty Hera.
I know you're going to come at me for that. I was joking. It was a joke. I'm sorry.
Not me.
Already apologize.
This game features the Eagles and the Rams. The Eagles have, according to PFF, the number one ranked defense. However, the 16th ranked offense.
Really?
Yes.
And what is dragging them down in PFF?
I think a lot of it has to do with their explosive plays. Their big-time throws from Jalen Hurts is basically half of Matthew Stafford's, while his turnover-worthy plays are quite high.
Yeah.
Their EPA per run, while positive, is actually not that overwhelming, despite featuring the second-best running back in the NFL.
Now, that is going to be the interesting part of this game, is the wear down that can happen. I think anytime you have a warm weather team going to somewhere that's going to be cold, watch out. It's going to be really stinking cold. It's going to be cold for the Philly guys in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
no. The LA guys, there's nothing you can do.
There's no prep for this
to simulate how cold it's going to be.
We talk about this with the SEC team traveling north of the Mason-Nixon line, except this is worse because it's going to be brutally cold.
And I still can't get out of my mind the level of physicality the first time these two teams played. Now, the Rams have gotten a lot better, and I think like that's something that we don't acknowledge enough. Is like, hey, by the way, teams can get a hell of a lot better over the course of the season. That loss that they had where Philly imposed their will, they ran the ball down their throat, it led to five straight wins that vaulted this Rams team to the NFC West divisional title and really a playoff win against Minnesota too. They've played like a different team. Now mm-hmm. they've gotten healthier, but I think on the defensive side of the ball, all of those young pieces that they've drafted really well and developed, they've really started to pop and come into their own. But you just can't get out of your mind 45 carries for 314 yards.
Yeesh.
Saquon Barkley averaged a first down every time he touched the ball, almost 9.8 yards per carry. And he got the ball 26 times the first time these two teams played. I cannot get that out of my brain. And if you're going to add Jalen Hurts, Jalen Hurts is coming off of a concussion that held him out. That dude, for the woes that he had throwing the football in that game against Green Bay, he ran the ball like a damn battering ram, and he only did it 6 times, but he would look like a different kind of player. And that, to me, is the run game heating up for Philly in a cold weather game against a team that's not used to being in it. That's why I like Philly to cover too, like win and cover, because you could get into a situation where you see this Rams team go, no, man, this isn't our day, and it's not going to be our day.
I went against the conventional wisdom in my brain, my heart, and everything in me, and I took the Rams simply just because the L.A. fires and the motivational stuff and the coming together, the culture, McVay, and the infighting within the Eagles that has permeated that team all season.
If you want to talk about things going sideways, if L.A. jumps on them early, and you could see that just go, A.J. Brown throwing a fit, Jalen Hurts getting pouty. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, you can see that, because this is the other thing with Philly, is that, like, sometimes their play calling is like, dude, when things aren't going right, do what you do best. Give the ball to number 26 and let him snatch some souls. Let your offensive line run the damn ball, and everything's going to be fine. People. And they get into this weird, quirky, we got to throw it now. It's like, it's a 60-minute game. You got time. Yeah. Don't panic. There is panic in Philly, sure.
Is that a Sirianni thing, or is that a Kellen Moore thing, or is it both?
It's culture.
Yeah.
Like, I think it is. It's like,
not being on 100% on the same page?
Yeah, you look at Sirianni, you're like, that dude's not stable.
Yeah.
And Nick Sirianni is a damn good coach.
Like, weird dude. It's kind of funny.
Really quirky, weird.
Sirianni and Campbell both get hired.
Mm-hmm.
And we make fun of both of them.
Their press conferences were wild.
Both press conferences were unhinged.
It was Nick Sirianni was Will Arnett in The Office when he's like, I got a plan.
Yeah.
Like, if I tell you the plan, then you're going to know the plan. Yeah. Then the plan doesn't work because it's not my plan anymore. It's your plan. That was his press conference, where he's like, levers and mechanisms that we're going
to
pull.
Didn't he do the water the bamboo line in there too?
No, that was later. We're watering a flower.
That's what it was.
He was watering a flower.
It was the same season though, wasn't it?
They lost a game and he literally got flowers thrown at him walking out of the tunnel.
The TED Talk stuff, man. Not great for the NFL.
No, but you know what? He wins a lot of football games.
It works in like press conferences and board meetings and probably impressing owners. Doesn't work anywhere else.
No, but oddly enough, it can work in an NFL locker room if you get or a football locker room if you get the right type of guys. Like, Nick Sirianni is the type of guy that he probably connects to a lot of guys because they remind him of his high school coach. Like, he would never lose a high school football game ever.
Ever.
Because he would be X's and O's, and like some of the stuff he says is like, dude, that is, you're a high school football coach, like the master motivator high school
Friday
coach.
Night Lights.
Yeah, yeah. But usually guys in the NFL are like, who the hell is this guy?
In the NFL, though, you get a little bit more of, I don't want your life.
Yeah, but in Philly, though, what makes him work is that for a city and a fan base of the Eagles that will throw any sort of talk out the window and just be like, F this guy, we're turning on him. They don't do that in that locker room. And they haven't. They can turn on each other in their relationships, but it's really weird that the biggest divisiveness that we've heard coming out of there is not with Nick Sirianni and his defense or his offensive line or anybody else. It's with his quarterback, and he and his quarterback kind of butting heads because Jalen Hurts is militaristic and old school and not this rah-rah guy. And that's been the interesting part about it. But as long as you got Saquon Barkley, and if they feed Saquon Barkley, that's going to be a tough tough hill to climb for LA.
Yeah, I mean, if they can sit there and keep things moving in the cold with Saquon alone, you don't have to get deep in the bag, and you can keep Stafford and that offense off the field, and you can neutralize an aggressive Rams defense. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a fun game, but it's one of those ones you can salt it away and move on to the next, which is what the playoffs are about.
Dude, that secondary in LA, though, I like them. They've got some old heads back there. They got Cameron Curl, who's the young buck back there. Kitchens also is like, he's a baby. He's like 22 years old. But they have like this mix of old heads and young guys that in that secondary. They play hair on fire for LA. Like that, you want to talk about why you get 9 sacks. It isn't just Sam Darnold seeing ghosts. Like it was.
No, they got after him.
The corners, the safeties, there was largely very few windows to throw in. Missed some big ones, Sam. And that's where you were seeing ghosts. But they do a phenomenal job in the back end, too. I really was impressed with the Rams in that wild card game against the Vikings.
All right, coming up next, it is Friday. It is 2:30-ish, which means it's time for Jeff Ross. And here's the big canoe himself with the Sports and Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down? When it lights
up this sky. It's Football Friday. It's 2:30-ish. Which means it's time for Jeff Russ. America's number one and trending game show at all times. Jeff Russ, take us away.
All right. Well, I don't know if you guys are aware, the NFL divisional round gets started tomorrow afternoon. The Texans visiting the Chiefs. One of three games this weekend where cold weather could play a factor. The Chiefs are 8.5-point favorites. Forecast calling for temperatures in the low 20s. Those Texans, of course, a dome team. Patrick Mahomes, 6-0 in his career in the divisional round, advancing in each of the last six seasons. So, here is your question. The Houston Texans, no way, Jose?
Or
puncher's chance?
I'm going to go puncher's chance. It's overwhelmingly Chiefs, but I'm going to go puncher's chance because stuff can happen. It's the NFL.
I am going to disagree with that.
I disagree.
My skin is curling. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm going to go no. I'm just going to no, because this is what Kansas City revs up for. This is what they were built for. I do love C.J. Stroud, his future. I love what they've done, especially D'Amico Ryans has got his defense just ready to play. But the Chiefs don't look at the regular season like everybody else does. Case in point, they were 15-1 and ended the last week of the regular season. They're like, whatever. Okay, Denver's in. Welcome to the playoffs, guys. They are built to figure things out in their shortcomings over the course of regular season. I think this is going to be a team that has something to prove, and they will prove it in their first game. Now, when the road gets tougher, when you play a Buffalo, when you play in a Super Bowl potentially, yeah, we can have these conversations again. I think this is just a team that's better than Houston, and this surely won't bite me. No, never.
Definitely not.
Never. Yeah. Like I said yesterday, I think they win by the hook is what got me. It's going to be like 8 or more is what I see this going with. I picked the Texans to cover. I think Kansas City's just better.
The Lions, 8.5-point favorites over the visiting Commies under the dome at Ford Field. So weather not an issue here. Detroit with exactly one playoff win in the Super Bowl era before advancing to the NFC Championship game last season.
Okay.
That one win was in the 1991 playoffs. The Commanders in the postseason for the first time since the 2020 playoffs with their win last week over the Buccaneers being their first playoff win since 2005. Now, should the Lions lose, it's part of the growing process.
Or
panic button.
No, no panic. No panic. I mean, the hard part is that you're going to have to replace Ben Johnson. You're probably going to have to replace Aaron Glenn.
That's going to be tough.
That is going to be tough. But guess what? Unlike a lot of these, you know, like we talked about this with Matt Eberflus. The reason why he wasn't able to get a young, hot name for an offensive coordinator is because he was a lame duck coach.
Yeah.
There, when you have a guy like Dan Campbell, the brightest minds on both sides of the ball are going to be attracted to it because of the fact that he lets you do your thing.
And you have an abundance of talent.
And the talent is overwhelming in Detroit right now. And they're locking these guys up for the long term. So I wouldn't panic, but it would be a big, it would be a kick in the nuts. But again, how many injuries on the defensive side of the ball, especially?
Yeah. No,
it'd be understandable.
No, I'm with you on this one. I don't think it's a panic. And also, the level of success for the Lions, it's a sliding scale.
I just would feel bad for the people of Detroit.
No, it would suck because all of these injuries mounting up would be the thing that did undo them.
Yeah. The murder mitten getting killed, that'd suck.
Sunday starts with the Rams at the Eagles, who are 6-point favorites. Temperatures around freezing, possibility of snow even, I believe. The Rams, of course, an indoor team. Philly looking to get back to the NFC Championship game, a game for the second time in 3 years. They lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl in 2022. Meanwhile, the Rams looking to get back to return for the first time since 2021 when they beat the Bengals in the Super Bowl. For which team is this game bigger, the Rams
or
the Eagles?
Oh. I want to say Rams because you just don't know how much you have left with Matthew Stafford. But it feels like Philly's world could fall apart if they lose. But I'm going to say Rams just because you have an aging quarterback. And how many more hurrahs do you have in you?
I think you're right, but I'm going to go with the Eagles here because it is the holy hand grenade that's going to get tossed into that thing if they lose.
Yeah, I could see that.
Like it's
you're not wrong.
It's Philly. It's never. I mean, are you paying attention to what's going on with the Philadelphia 76ers right now? Like they don't handle these things well.
This is Family Feud. No bad answers here. No. That was a good answer. Yeah, good answer. Yep, good answer.
The NFL weekend wraps up with the game many think will determine the Super Bowl winner. The Ravens, 1.5-point favorites in Buffalo against the Bills, could have temperatures as low as the single digits. Both quarterbacks have yet to get over the hump and win a title. So, for whom is this game more important to their legacy, Lamar Jackson
or
Josh Allen?
Lamar. I think it is Lamar. AFC Championship game. You are the guy who should win the MVP this year. You finally have that running back. This one does mean more for Baltimore, I think, than it does to Buffalo. It means a lot to Buffalo, don't get me wrong, but when I look at this, I go, this is a year that Baltimore needs to get over a hump.
I'm going to go on the other side of that coin. I think Josh Allen should win the MVP, and I also think it's this Buffalo team, they just keep running up against it, and they have that history of the 4 straight Super Bowl losses. Whether it's fair to Josh Allen, this Buffalo Bills team or not, it is something that the get over the hump and win it. This is just step one of doing that.
Yeah.
And that's where I ultimately fall on this. I don't think you're wrong. I just lean more towards the Bills.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this was a great, like in my reasoning, like you're not wrong at all. I just look at everything Buffalo is up against at the beginning of this year to look at that and be like, they ran into the Ravens in the divisional round. Like, I get it. I get it. I could understand it. They don't have a dominant number one wide receiver. They're retooled their secondary. Like, this was a retool year. Yeah, but I see it. Like, they need to get over that hump eventually. They do.
Coming up on Monday, it's the College Foosball Playoff National Championship game from Atlanta. Oh. Number 8, Ohio State. 8.5-point favorites over number 7, Notre Dame. 4:30 on ESPN. Should the Irish pull off the upset, which is more likely? Ryan Day loses his job
or
Marcus Freeman moves on to the NFL?
There's not a third option for the world ends?
Damn.
I am struggling to find a way Notre Dame wins this game. Like this feels like this is going to be a colossal throttling.
I would agree. I don't know how Notre Dame scores. I mean, actually, I do. It's a, you just have one of those drives where you just wear them down and you run the football. Or Will Howard throws a pick six.
That's one drive. How about 4 more?
That's it right there.
Because this ain't going to be a 13-7 game.
Notre Dame's defense is really good. Both these defenses are outstanding.
Texas's defense is really good. And guess how many points Ohio State scored?
21. Offensively.
But again,
they got their points up on the board.
Is the Texas defense better than Notre Dame's?
Yes. And I don't know if Notre Dame at this point, like we talk about injury luck, dude, they've been beat up too. And I don't know if you can roll into a game and have enough dudes to stop in the back end of your defense. Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Buka. You're going to have to do it with a backup who's played outstanding football. But you need that top-end talent. I think Ohio State runs away with it.
See, now this is a game for me where I'm not a fan of either team. In fact, I kind of despise both of them. But going into it, I was kind of been pulling for Notre Dame just because I hate Ohio State that much more.
Oh, okay.
I think Lou Holtz this week has single-handedly made me change my mind.
Look at that. What a day for you.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's going out there saying, you know, Ohio State's not used to winning close games, and I think Notre Dame's going to get this because we just have more heart. And just shut up, Lou. Come on, man. Just let sleeping dogs lie and just let them play the game.
Oh, but to answer your question, yeah. Marcus Freeman to the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going the same way.
Cool. That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Ross. Oh, every Friday afternoon at 2:30-ish, America's number one game show. We can talk about a little bit of college football, but there's also been some breaking news in the college football world that's actually pretty sizable. The transfer portal may just exist in theory. Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan. Some possible game-changing and landscape-changing move in the world of college football. Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports has an article up now that says, in a precedent-setting move that may spark landmark legal action among schools. This started because a Wisconsin defensive back named Xavier Lewis, who signed a revenue share deal at the University of Wisconsin, is transferring to Miami. That's not the part of this that's interesting. The University of Wisconsin refused to enter him into the portal, and he has still gone to Miami, and the NCAA has since provided Yahoo Sports with a statement that reads, the NCAA rules do not prevent a student-athlete from enrolling and for unenrolling from an institution, enrolling in an institution, and competing immediately. What that means is the transfer portal is fake.
Yeah, well, that makes it even more hairy because of the fact that the football coaches, and look, they do need to have windows in this. You can't just have guys going out on a whim. What the portal is just a database so coaches know who's available and who's out there and where they are, right? You enter the portal so people can find you just as easily. And the guys do have entered the portal in the middle of the year. Like, we hear this all the time. Like, guys are going to enter the portal. You know, he's leaving the team and going to enter the portal before the portal's even open. Yeah,
Miller Moss did this at USC when they made the move to Miava.
So we know that guys can enter the portal wherever, whenever, but it's like now the NCAA is just saying crystal clear, we're not going to enforce any of these windows anymore. Because the windows were to make it easier for the institutions to have a little bit of stability. Like, all this is going down, and the NCAA just keeps taking losses left and right.
This is them just getting out of the way immediately. That's what this
is. That's a bigger issue. Because, like, look, everybody, coaches say it, administrators say it, media personalities say it, fans say it. The NCAA has no teeth. They are finally acknowledging it. And this is a move to say to the coaches and administrators who are like thumb their nose at the NCAA, fine, you want us to be lawless? Let's go. We'll go ahead and we'll put it this way to you, because they're taking legal losses left and right. And if I actually applaud Charlie Baker and the NCAA for finally not fighting in the court system and just saying, yeah, we're going to take this loss anyways. We're not going to spend the money on it.
Yeah, because keep your money. You're going to lose. The interesting thing here is there's also nothing in here that says that a player couldn't just leave one school midseason and go to another school midseason.
Yeah.
If a school has a scholarship or has a spot open, let's say they go to 105. Let's say that a school is at 104.
Yeah.
And a guy just says, no, I'm out, and just goes to a team midseason. There's nothing in this language that says otherwise.
Well, yeah, there you can go, but you're not immediately eligible. Like, because you do have part of the NCAA as it is right now, you have to be enrolled in school.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Let's say a semester ends and you get into it.
Yeah, but you can transfer whenever you want, as long as the school admit you.
Yes.
Like, you can't just go and say, this week I'm playing for Oregon, next year week I'm playing for USC,
no.
The next week I'm playing for Washington. Like,
I'm saying,
like,
if you go for one school, it's in a quarter system.
Yeah.
As opposed to a semester, and you unenroll at Oregon and you go to enroll at Oregon State, the next quarter, and that's that weekend. This is basically saying that's open for that.
Yeah. And
which is insane to think about.
That is something that's kind of been true, but we just have not...
Nobody's tested the boundaries.
And what the Wisconsin safety who's now committed to Miami, mm-hmm. the big issue there is he signed an NIL deal, mm-hmm. and he's like, I'm not giving them money back.
All depends on what the legal contract says.
Yeah, and that's...
And he's hired a lawyer, so...
And he lawyered up, and they were like, we're going to fight this, mm-hmm. and we're going to be gone, and there's nothing you're going to be able to do. Turns out, they can't.
Might be right.
Now they're, but the NCAA, they're having a wave of it because there was today, Department of Justice is announced that they are monitoring the House settlement and saying the NCAA can't cap it at $20.5 million for the revenues that they're going to share with the players. You have no grounds to cap what people
anything,
can earn.
Anywhere.
So there's a big hang up. Mm-hmm. Title IX is now involved in saying, well, that money that you're sharing better be equal because they're calling it financial assistance, mm-hmm. NIL, which is silly.
Yeah, they'll just change the wording on that.
And once the House settlement is complete, NIL is going to be a term of the past, mm-hmm. and they're going to just be employees.
It's going to be pay for play employees.
And they're going to acknowledge it so they can't get around things like Title IX. Mm-hmm. Because the idea here is that the name, image, and likeness, it that does change based on your value to the institution. You know? Like, that's the whole point of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a non-revenue generating sport, like, this is, it's all based on generating revenue. Quite
ta-da. Billions,
so,
even.
Yeah, billions of dollars. So, like, that won't, that is one that won't hold up. But that's the government saying this, not the NCAA.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah, and that one won't hold up because it is wholly based on what revenue your name, image, and likeness generates. And that's not equal across all sports or genders. Women's basketball, yeah, there's a lot of NIL money there. Women's gymnastics, a ton of NIL mm-hmm. there. But not all women's sports and not equal to football.
Nowhere near football or basketball.
Star men's basketball players, no, yeah.
Not even close.
It's true.
One little news note that just came across. Miami's Jimmy Butler returning to the Miami Heat lineup tonight and is expected to start. This is, we didn't talk about it today, but he did a sit-down with Ramona Shelburne and basically mentioned that the reason he was pretty perturbed is not only because he didn't get his money, but because the Heat appear to be building around Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo and keeping him out of these things and basically stringing him out over the last 2 years for and not bringing in any additional help, which is exactly what's happened.
But it's also like Jimmy.
Well, I mean, he also
Jimmy being Jimmy, right?
He also threw that team on his back and carried them to the NBA Finals without Tyler Hero.
Well, we also have anonymous sources coming from the Heat organization saying we don't want him back.
Yeah, but the player participation stuff is going to prohibit that. Oh. He's coming back and he's playing, ladies
you
and gentlemen.
You know what, Miami? It couldn't happen to a better fan base.
I am here for this tonight. I am going to tune into that game. Denver versus Miami.
It's
going to
be great. I can't. Mm. Denver-Miami tonight?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I wonder, like, and this would be normally a game where I'm like, does Jimmy Butler go unhinged on Russell Westbrook for doing something silly? But now I may say Jimmy Butler may be a counter agent in helping.
Oh, double agent for sure. Yeah,
Russ and the Nuggets out.
Be fantastic. He may or may not have not thrown a game, but you know, participated at a lower level of competition before he got suspended. And I don't know if it's going to go that way, but I'm very interested to see what happens tonight.
Yeah, well, that's not throwing a game. Hmm. That's checking out. We've seen that locally.
Yeah, we've seen that.
We've seen that locally.
Plenty.
Man, got a couple of them this weekend. Huh? Well,
and they'll be in Miami next week.
Oh, are you going to travel for that one?
Oh, no. I mean,
that would be one game that I think you probably should go to.
It'd be fun.
Yeah.
I'd be about that life. I would just, you know, Odyssey, pay me.
All right, we have got a... Isaac's in the studio.
Yeah.
We've got Monday off.
We do.
MLK Day. We will...
Shocking, Isaac.
So we are missing our college football playoff national championship preview on Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday, though, with a recap of the national championship game, recap of divisional weekend, which is going to be absolutely awesome.
And back-to-back Blazers games this weekend.
It's a
sports-filled weekend.
I have a feeling that might get pushed to Wednesday.
We'll see.
I have a feeling with all the footballs that may get that may get bumped down the docket.
We shall see.
Well, I mean, if Ant continues to go over, we're probably going to talk about that.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Yeah. All right, up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you Tuesday from noon to three right here on The Fan.
Bye. Soup you can suck on.
You just put your mouth and suck on them.
I'm not doing the nasty stuff.